7 arrests made after animal rights protesters infiltrate Norfolk abattoir.
A vegan chef wins Champion of Champions at the Great British Menu 2024.
And forget whether they're called scones or scones, the National Trust have got into controversy because of the fact that the recipe is secretly plant-based.
Anyway, that's enough of the falafel. I'm Carlos.
And I'm Anthony.
And this is episode 55 of Vegan Week. Right. Welcome everyone to the show.
Indeed. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If you're rejoining us, welcome back. Today's episode of Vegan Week is looking at the last 2 weeks of vegan and animal rights related news. We had a special episode last week, so we've got 2 weeks to catch up on. So we're going to rattle through it quickly. If this is your first time listening, do check your podcast feed because we've got loads of other, not just vegan news episodes, but our vegan talk show that we do every Thursday and our January specials, the Going Vegan series. So do check those out.
Right, that's enough of the falafel. Let's hear what's been going on in this week's news. Okay, so we're going to talk about roughly 10 or so stories very briefly, but there'll be links if you want to follow those later. And after we do these 10 stories very briefly, we kind of look at our main story of the week. So without further ado.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to start off with a couple of stories that relate directly to animals right now. And the first one is based in South Africa. We got this from downtoearth.org. And the story is that blood lions, or so-called blood lions, will soon be no more as South Africa is to stop captive breeding of big cats for trophy hunting. This is something I didn't actually know anything about at all. So basically, there have been farms where lions are bred specifically to be shot, but that is going to end in 2 years' time. So they've announced it this week. Variety of reasons that lions have been bred in South Africa. Trophy hunting is one of them, but also the use of bones as substitute for tigers in traditional Chinese medicine. Obviously, whatever the reason, it's a horrific practice. Owners of farms have been given 2 years to, quote, voluntarily withdraw from the sector and change their business model before the ban begins. So not dissimilar to what's been happening in South Korea with regards to dog meat. But yeah, I think we'll take that as a victory.
Speaking of victories, another one happened in Miami as the Miami Seaquarium is to close down forever. So Miami-Dade County officials have ordered the infamous Miami Seaquarium, where an orca called Lolita died recently, to close down and vacate the premises. This has been decades in the making. Very long campaign by PETA USA, lots of protests and campaigning at all levels. But finally, the county officials have caved in and have ended this seaquarium. Hopefully, the first of many seaquariums to close down. These animals should never be in captivity like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of a zoo or an aquarium with a worse reputation than that Miami one. They seem to be in the news all the time, but no more. They are no more. That's, like you say, Carlos, another victory there. Right. On to more sort of lifestyle and business related news now. And this rather interesting one, it popped up everywhere this week when we were researching the show. This is the National Trust, who've got in a hot water. A lot of people seem very cross about the fact that there's no animal products in the recipe. And they've been slammed by some critics for saying, oh, they're going woke, or they're destroying a bit of British culture. Now, they've responded. Their director of communications, Sheila Richardson, has said that basically these scones have been, or scones, depending on how you say it, they've actually been plant-based for years. They've always published their recipes. It's not been a secret. And her quote on X said, the culture warriors have reached the gates of the citadel. Now our scones are secretly woke. There's been people, conservative MPs, weighing in and all sorts. But yeah, we thought we'd cover it because it's been everywhere. It's not really going to make a difference to animals either way, I don't think. But an interesting one. Carlos, scones or scones?
Well, if I'm where I live, I would say scones. If I go further into London, I progressively start saying scones, I think. just to fit in.
Exactly. Exactly. There we are.
In other food, plant-based food related news, a vegan chef has won Champion of Champions title on the Great British Menu 2024. So that was Kirk Hayworth, a vegan chef and co-founder and chef of London restaurant Plates, which unfortunately I've never been, has won. I mean, and from and you need to pay me a lot more for these podcasts to be able to go to Plates, has won the Great British Menu Series 19 Champion of Champions. So he won a fish round with a vegan dish, which is laudable by itself. And now he's won, I guess, the whole thing. So amazing result. Not the reason I went vegan and a lot of people went vegan, but it's nice that even lovers of fine dining can feel that they won't miss out on anything.
Yeah. Obviously, when people list their objections to veganism, they're a lot of the time they're just deflecting or they're just finding superficial reasons. But one of them early on will often be taste. People will raise taste-based objections, won't they, which we know not to be the case in the long run. But it's nice to just have this to fire back at people, I think, isn't it? And say, well,
yeah. And of course, this is a massive show. So this is part of popular culture. It's seen by millions of people. So it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, Kirk. Off to Copenhagen now then. Their Fashion Week have this week announced that they are banning exotic skins, animal skins, and feathers. So they're setting new standards for sustainability in fashion. It's made the headlines. When you dig into it, it's not that massive a change, but it's still a nudge in the right direction. So 2 years ago, they had already banned fur from their catwalks as part of their ongoing sustainability action plan. And as of next year, this announcement this week has said that exotic skins or feathers will be banned for their runways too. They've got a list of sustainability requirements that participants have to follow. It encourages designers to reduce their environmental impact, consider animal welfare in their design. So it's certainly not a vegan fashion show by any stretch, but nice nudge in the right direction. They're still using phrases like 50% of the collections must either be certified, made of preferred materials, or new generation sustainable materials, upcycled, recycled, or made of dead stock. So like I said, I'm repeating myself now, but nudges in the right direction, but still further progress that they could make, and hopefully we'll hear that soon.
Meanwhile, back in the UK, a plastic-free vegan leather, a shoe grown and dyed from bacteria in 14 days. So this is news that a fall leather shoe has been grown for bacteria in a lab in just 14 days, and this bacteria has been programmed to dye itself black. So it's plastic-free and vegan, so it kind of checks both boxes there. It's been cultivated by researchers at Imperial College London from genetically engineered bacteria. And, the reason for doing this has been not so much vegan reasons, but more to move away from synthetic material dyeing and kind of also to kind of reduce the amount of plastic being used. But I guess we could just take that as a win, really. Meanwhile, please, any non-vegan listening to this, don't comment that bacteria are animals, please. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
Don't. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's difficult
to know. They are living, but yeah, they're not animals.
What exactly are you meant to do about it, you know? I mean, Carlos, do you ever like stop and think and kind of think, you know, when I was a child, if I was to be told that I would be recording a podcast, which I wouldn't have known what it was, talking about faux leather shoes growing in a lab and programming themselves to be black. You just feel like, what? Like, I wouldn't even know what any of that meant. It's mind-boggling sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you told me as a child I would be vegan, it would be mind-boggling as well. Indeed. But no, this is real sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it exists. And, a lot of technical advancements that have made a vegan world possible in the future. A lot of those advancements started like this, as these experiments. And then, of course, the commercial people come in and design products around it in a way to kind of make this travel the world. Yeah. Hopefully, the future.
Yeah, well, we'll see, won't we? Okay, on to politics and campaigns now. This one from Animal Equality. They have presented two bills in Brazil that they say could save billions of animals. So last week, they presented the two bills in the Brazilian parliament, the aim being to protect animals. The first bill aims to prohibit the killing of male chicks. Now, that on the surface of it sounds like a straightforward statement. When you look into it, it's kind of, I don't know, well, make your own minds up. So the aim is to put an end to the cruel practice by introducing in ovo sexing technologies. So these methods would enable a non-invasive sex identification of the embryos inside the eggs before they're hatched. So in effect, it's preventing the unnecessary killing of millions of male chicks each year. Obviously, the kind of ultimate way of doing it is not to be exploiting animals in that way at all, but you can see where they're coming from there. The second bill aims to introduce mandatory labeling on products that contain animals as ingredients, and the kind of labeling thereafter is intended to inform consumers about cruel practices involved in meat production, including things like extreme confinement, slaughter of newborn male animals, food restriction, mutilations, slaughter without anaesthetic, and prolonged transportation. Now, this second bill specifically aligns with the country's so-called Consumer Defence Code, which guarantees consumers the right to have accurate information about the products they consume. So they're the two plans that Animal Equality have presented. They're in line with existing laws in Brazil, which makes animal abuse a crime, including farmed animals too. So I guess we'll have to just keep our eyes and ears open to see how that gets on. But certainly a laudable effort there from Animal Equality.
Yeah, this mandatory labeling reminds me of what they put on cigarette packs. Packaging, isn't it? And well, speaking of things you could have told me as a child that I wouldn't believe would come to pass, that's one of them.
Yeah.
Because when I grew up, everybody smoked, literally everywhere I went, everybody smoked. And, you know, to go from that kind of society where smoking is, I would say, encouraged and seen as a cool thing to nowadays when, you know, the cigarettes kind of, they can't have any branding, you can't advertise them, they're hidden away in the shop, sort of, and have these horrible pictures of decaying gums and decaying lungs. It's been quite a lot of progress. So by all means, label the animal products with the cruelty behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if this doesn't go through now, I think the fact that it's even being put forward as a possibility is promising. It's maybe a suggestion that, I don't know, further down the line it might happen. Obviously, hopefully it goes through now, but we'll see.
Anyway, speaking of governmental decisions, the Scottish government is at the moment running a consultation on banning the use of cages for house-laying eggs for egg production. So this only in Scotland, of course. So the views sought include the phasing out of the use of enriched cages, which offered more room to nest, root, scratch, and rest than the previous use battery or barren cages that were banned in the UK back in 2022. So in 2020, there was a survey. It showed that 88% of the British public consider using cages in farming a cruel practice, and 77% of those surveyed support a complete ban on the use of cages in farming. So the Scottish government listening to what people say, which is good. Over 1.1 million hens were housed in cages in Scotland as of February 2024. And if implemented, Scotland will become the first UK nation to ban cages. The EU has put forward legislation to prohibit using cages for on-farmed livestock, with Luxembourg and Austria already banning them and others phasing them out. So the consultation will run for 12 weeks until the 25th of June, 2024. There's a link you can actually follow and cast your vote and tell the Scottish government how you feel about caged use of cages for house-laying hens. Again, a welfarist reform, but let's get that anyway. Let's go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, campaigning for no cages is certainly better than a campaign saying, oh, let's have a few extra centimetres or what have you. It's fingers crossed. So on to some news from a campaign from Mercy for Animals in Kentucky, USA. They have released hidden camera footage that reveals cruelty in Kentucky poultry farms. So this This footage is alleging Kentucky poultry factory farms of cruel treatment of chickens. And I think if you were to watch any such footage, there's no alleged about it. It clearly is. Now, this has been released in opposition to so-called anti-animal rights bill that's been approved by Kentucky legislature recently, specifically Senate Bill 16, which the aim is to criminalize the use of any recording equipment, including drones, cameras, video recorders, audio recorders, inside concentrated animal feeding operations and commercial food processing and manufacturing plants without consent from the operation's owner. So obviously that's going to have a huge impact on showing people the truth of what actually happened. So great that they're rallying against this. It's great that this is being drawn attention to. Obviously, like I say, that Senate Bill 16 has been put through recently, so that is the case. It does beg the question as to what exactly they're hiding. You wouldn't have thought there would be any need for this if there's nothing to hide. So great that despite this sort of, it's like an ag gag law that has passed, that the animal rights groups such as Mercy for Animals are still raising the profile of it, and it's reaching the press. So hopefully that can be reversed.
Meanwhile, in Manchester, the Vegan Animal Rights Conference is coming into town. So this is the first ever time this conference has run. The VARC, V-A-R-C, combines workshops and panels led by industry experts. So industry, in this case, animal rights industry, not animal agriculture, in this experts. It's just that it's funny to say industry.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Yeah, the network, the ecosystem of animal rights organizations.
Yeah.
So there'll be panels and there'll be lots of networking and information of how to do impactful advocacy. And here I must stress that animal rights is an ecosystem with lots of different organizations all doing different things. And it's essential that there's coordination between all these initiatives. So everybody's kind of roughly rowing in the same direction with somewhat of a unified message on a unified plan on where we can all have the most impact. You know, resources are always scarce for any kind of activism. And animal rights is the one that I feel we really should win. So this takes place over 2 days, beginning on the 12th, and there'll be 43 different sessions in total. And, you know, the idea is to get this shared purpose through talks, activities, and network.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's really nice to see something that is specifically focused on animal rights and activism, like you say, Carlos, unified approaches without the consumerism. Obviously, I understand why things like vegan campouts and vegan festivals are really positive things. They're really great opportunities to socialize. They're great opportunities for vegan businesses to make a lot of profit in a small amount of time, and that can make a big difference. But yeah, I feel a lot easier by the fact that there's something that is not necessarily got those commercial purposes and is really just focusing on the kind of strategy side of things. So yeah, that sounds like a really positive thing. Let's move on now then to our main story of the week. Talk about timing. I think it was the day before our pre-recorded episode reviewing the film Pignorant came out on Thursday. I think it was on Wednesday. Correct me if I'm wrong, Carlos. But we had a lot of news hitting the headlines and hitting social media. You'll have done well to avoid it if you have any kind of vegan content on your social media feeds. We had this protest, occupation, if you like, of a gas chamber at Cranswick in Watton. And yeah, getting covered in lots of different places. Do you want to give us like a bit of a rundown, Carlos, of some of the things that have gone on? We'll sort of piece it together between us and then give our opinions on it.
So this was taken at a slaughterhouse that supplies, well, all the major supermarkets, Tesco, Morrison's, Asda, Sainsbury's, Aldi, as well as more upscale supermarkets like Marks and Spencer. And, you know, this is, I guess, a continuation of Joey Carbstrong's campaign. And Cranswick Country Foods is a big deal. It does supply a lot of supermarkets, one of the biggest producers of pork in the country. You know, they were there to you know, they following the lead of Pignorant. They've just been kind of hitting these places that run these gas chambers to kill pigs, the CO2 gas chambers. And obviously the animals, especially an intelligent big animal like a pig, will not go willingly into a place like this. So the animals are, besides, of course, their, all the abuse they suffered before and inside the gas chamber, they also abused as they're forced and squeezed in, into this area, into the gas chamber itself.
I found it quite interesting to see how different news outlets have commented on this and that the slant that they've taken. We'll get on to like the kind of vegan activist side of the social media and the reporting too, because that's been part of it. But a lot of news outlets, understandably, just focusing on the kind of, I don't know, civil disobedience side of it, if you like, and just reporting, oh, some people are occupying this place, like the police have been called, that sort of thing. But we'll include it in the show notes. The Independent not only commented on what was happening in terms of the occupation, but actually focusing on the animal rights side of things and the way in which pigs had been treated, the fact that the slaughterhouse supplies Tesco, Morrison's, Asda, Sainsbury's, Aldi, Marks and Spencer. So really they were continuing a lot of the advocacy that Joey Carbstrong's documentary and Pignorant had been showing too. So that was really promising, I thought. There was another bit of activism to kind of pair off with it, wasn't there? These dead piglets being dumped outside a town hall in Norfolk. What did you make of that, Carlos?
Yes, there was... So these dead piglets dumped outside in Norfolk, the town hall, you know, there was written in graffiti on the ground, watch Pignorant on Prime. And then it put, you know, these four dead piglets with the word victims beneath them. It's, well, I understand the intention, although the use of the dead animals is a bit odd for vegan activists. I know it's shocking and it made the news, that's for sure.
Mm. Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
It's a bit of an odd one, especially as it isn't. The gas chambers aren't really for piglets. They're for animals that are big enough to be slaughtered for meat, aren't they? Otherwise, because piglets are not slaughtered with CO2, as we watched in the Pignorant documentary.
Yes, I suppose they're part of the industry as a whole, aren't they? And perhaps like practically, it's a lot easier to dump four. I mean, it's horrible to talk about it in these terms, but it's easier to dump four piglets than four full-size pigs, perhaps. But catches the eye. It's one of those where it makes the news because of it, but a lot of people say, oh, no, that's too far. You shouldn't do things like that. But
it's not even that far, to be honest.
No.
It's not even that far. It's not, it's nothing compared to what actually goes on in these meat processing facilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, for those who are interested in the kind of emerging details of it, as we record this today, there's been a YouTube release today from Joey Carbstrong on his social media channel giving updates of things, because obviously people were arrested. By the time this goes out on Monday, I'm sure there'll be more updates. So you can see more on it there, and no doubt this won't be the end of this campaign. It seems to be a sustained effort. What are your thoughts, Carlos, in terms of like it? In a sense, it's a single issue campaign. I don't know whether that's the right phrase, but it is just focusing on pigs. Does that help us give a concentrated message? We've been talking about the animal rights conference, like in terms of coming up with strategy and direction. In a sense, it's doing that. But it is just focusing on pigs. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. I'll say what I usually say in these circumstances is I'm glad this exists, but it's even more than single issue, because it's not just focused on pigs. It's focused on a specific part of meat production for a specific animal. Mm. And I watched the documentary and I spoke about it. Mm. And I my only concern about that is that the message to non-vegans is a bit, look at how cruel it is to kill pigs with CO2, because of obviously their size and how difficult it is to kill a 600-pound animal. Mm. I'm just afraid non-vegans will say, well, if this is a cruel way, let's find a humane way to kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure science can come up with something
that's
not a gas chamber. Which wasn't impignorant. A lot of the arguments from the welfarist organizations that were there, they were saying, well, this is cruel. Yeah, we need to find a better way to kill these pigs. But on the other hand, it's a very, well, I'm going to say media friendly or media unfriendly in the sense that it can generate very powerful footage because pigs scream a lot like humans scream and for pretty much the same reason. So they're very relatable animal in that sense. You know, they're mammals, they're big, they, you know, you can, if you go online and if you look at sanctuaries, you can find dozens and dozens of cute pigs, even commercial pigs doing funny things. You know, let's just talk about, you know, two of the biggest superstars in the animal sanctuary worlds, actually both died fairly recently, Esther the wonder pig from Canada and Pig Casso from South Africa. They were both commercial sows. So they're exactly the sort of animal that we see in those gas videos. So they're very good animal for that. I just think it's a bit too focused on the CO2, but then again, I would never criticize another animal rights activist. No. I mean, I would only criticize, I would have a chat with them in private if I felt there was something they could do better.
Yeah.
But by all means, go for it. It's just interesting to see how Joey Carbstrong and his band of activists are able to spin this very specific issue into something that speaks to a broader animal rights campaign.
Yeah, it's interesting in hearing people's vegan journeys. Some people, yes, it is a holistic understanding, the concept of animal rights as a whole across all species. But very often people will say, oh, it all started when I came across this sheep, or I got a rescue dog, or I learned something that happens to fish or whatever. And it can start off with a specific issue, a specific animal, a specific context. And the other sort of thought I have is that I do a little bit of work in marketing, not full time. It's just part of my job. Something I've learned about marketing is, like, you just have to keep throwing so many different strategies and approaches, and most stuff doesn't work, but just eventually the volume of what you're doing, if you do enough different things, something will work. And I think with vegan activism, we're kind of, though there of course is philosophy and ethics behind it, like, in a sense we're marketing a vegan philosophy and a vegan lifestyle to people, and so just trying absolutely everything we can in as many different ways is going to yield the best chance of success. So although it seems to be quite odd to be seeing so much focus on pigs and how they're killed at the moment, well, that, you know, that's fine. Let's get the ball over the line however we possibly can.
And animal rights activism is not a zero sum game.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, we flooded the channels with CO2 gas chambers for pigs. Now we cannot talk about zoos, or we cannot talk about battery chickens, or you can talk about all of those.
Yes.
Because what we're competing it with is all the other noise that exists in the feeds, I guess, in the news feeds and the social feeds, that, you know, we're competing with all that noise, which includes sports, which includes political news, which includes war, which includes tax rises or falls or interest rates, with celebrity news. We're not just competing among ourselves, competing with the whole thing. So it's fine, you know, by all means, flood those channels with animal rights messaging, as long as it's all consistent.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, we don't just want to end gas chambers, we want to end all consumption of animals, right? And I think, I mean, and to be fair, you know, Joey Carbstrong has always been on message with that.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, Carlos. Like you said, it's talking about animal rights. And actually, for all the great progress that we've seen in the vegan movement in the last 5 years, a lot of it has been product specific, plant-based product specific. A lot of things have been focused on health. And of course, like, you know, we're not going to turn away from the opportunity to talk about those things. But actually, this is at least talking about animal rights, isn't it? And the morals and the philosophy of it. And I'd much rather be hearing more of that, even if it is just, quote, just about pigs, than if we were hearing lots of news about, oh, Burger King have released a new plant-based burger, or, oh, look at this latest study on, you know, that eating a more plant-based diet helps you by 5% with colon cancer. Well, that's great, but it's not got the same gravity, has it, as really focusing on the philosophy of animal rights and why we shouldn't be abusing them for our own ends. Okay, let's bring things to an end. That is our 10 news stories for the last fortnight, plus that one major one about pigs. You've been seeing some pigs recently, haven't you, Carlos?
Yes, I went to an animal sanctuary near my house last Sunday for their Easter, kind of Easter day of activities. But I didn't go for the Easter day of activities. I went there for to see the pigs because they're my favorite animal. And I saw some lovely ones and I took my dog and I thought she was going to be really afraid of the pigs because she's never seen one before. And she actually stuck her nose through the fence and she rubbed noses with a pig. So now she has a pig boyfriend who's about at least 400 pounds. And if their relationship takes off, I don't want to hear anything about him moving in.
No.
So it's going to be platonic. Sorry about that. I'll take her there a few times and they can rub noses again for all I care, but he's not moving in.
No, fair enough. Sounds reasonable.
So anyway, what do you think about this story or anything of the other stories we covered in the show? You can always send in your thoughts to enoughofthefalafel@gmail.com. So enough of the falafel, single word. And we'll be delighted to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely. Well, thank you everybody for listening, whether for the first time or whether for the 55th time. Remember those back catalogue of episodes that we've got. They're all sat there waiting for you to listen. And we know about half of our listeners each week are listening to this week's show and half of them are going back to hear previous things. So do take advantage of that if that takes your fancy.
So I just wanted to give you a heads up to the next episode of Vegan Talk, which will air this Thursday, when the two of us, Carlos and Ant, will talk about when vegan activists burn out. Anyway, that's enough of the falafel for this episode. I've been Carlos.
And I've been Anthony, and you have been listening to episode 55 of Vegan Week.
This show is kindly sponsored by our friends at Fire and Flow Coffee Roasters. And they're such great people, they're offering all Enough of the Falafel listeners a cheeky 10% off orders on their online store when using the code FALAFEL10. That's Falafel, the number 10. Fire and Flow are a specialty coffee roastery based in the Cotswold with a fully vegan coffee shop on site.
Yeah, they're a vegan founded company too. They're run by three friends, Shah, Callum and Phil, and they specialise in roasting and supplying wholesale coffee beans to coffee shops, restaurants, hotels and offices.
For the wholesale part of their operations, they work with other businesses to help them get the most out of their coffee offering, with free barista training and full technical support included.
The products themselves are the result of their passion for working with skilled and ethical-minded farmers who produce the highest quality beans. Fire and Flow then roast them to perfection in small batches at their roastery in Cirencester, which you can visit at any time. Book onto one of their barista courses or roastery tours via their website, fireandflowcoffee.co.uk.
While you're there, you can check out the beautiful, fully vegan coffee shop on site. I've been there myself. It's absolutely brilliant. And it's open 7 days a week from 9 till 3. The last time I went, it was a Sunday afternoon. It was glorious. It's just a fab place to hang out and feel good about life.
Give them a follow on Instagram to get the latest at Fire and Flow Coffee. And for those online orders, remember the code exclusively for our brilliant Enough of the Falafel community. That is Falafel 10. 10 is 1 and 0. So Falafel 10.